My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth, part of the Secret Recordings Network, back with a brand new episode. We will be talking Christmas and animals on this in our news section. Everything you need to go if you're going this weekend for the 4th of July weekend. American Independence Day tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the day of release. We'll also talk Disney weddings. A couple of episodes ago, we had a Disney bride who got married at Animal Kingdom. We've got somebody, a couple who got married very recently on a Disney cruise. We'll chat to Bob and Enya on this episode. And hello to Joe, who says, just out of interest, Andy, we've got free dining. What are the overrated restaurants that we should avoid, in your opinion? Oh, I love this. In my opinion. Okay. Walt Disney World restaurants that I think are overrated. I actually don't think there's a lot of them. Overpriced, maybe. Overrated. If I had to choose one overrated restaurant, now this is only my opinion, and I don't have kids, and I'm not a fan of meeting face characters. I love meeting characters, Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and all that, and Chip and Dale and Stitch. Yes, face characters like princesses, I'm not a fan. I always find it awkward. And when I was on the dining plan, when I had free dining once, we went to Cinderella's Royal Table because I just wanted to eat in the castle. And don't get me wrong, the fact that you can get to eat in Cinderella's castle in the restaurant in there is brilliant. But I think, firstly, you're using 2 credits. And I didn't think the food was that great. And I'm just because I'm not a fan of meeting the princesses, I just thought it was overrated. So that would be my choice. And in fact, I think last year, when we had AJ from Disney Food Blog on the podcast, I think we had this question. We think we talked about overrated Disney World restaurants. So if you want to go back and listen to that episode, maybe some ideas on there. But if there was one restaurant that I would say is overrated, don't bother. I think it would be that. Cinderella's Royal Table in the castle at Magic Kingdom, unless you really want to meet the princess. In fact, if you want to meet the princesses, Ashgathkirch, or whatever it's called in Epcot, you can meet the princesses there. Or unless you want to eat in the castle, then eat in the castle. But there you go. Hope that answers your question. If you want to send me a message or if you want to be a podcast guest, drop me a message. Drop me a DM at PodMagical. And on this episode of the podcast, it's not just another couple who got married at Disney, because we had a Disney bride on a few episodes ago. They are actually newlyweds. Let's say hello to Enya and Bob.
Hello, hello.
And congratulations, you found your happily ever after.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely.
Literally early this year, April.
Yes.
Now, unlike our previous guest, Chelsea, she got married in Walt Disney World under the Tree of Life at Animal Kingdom. You had a Disney fairy tale wedding, but yours was slightly different, wasn't it?
Yes, we actually went via the cruise line, so we had our wedding on Castaway Cay.
Oh, fab! So, I often wondered this. I know sometimes I've seen people get married on ships, and they get married by the captain. Who does actual marries you when you're on Castaway Cay?
So, they had, it was like a Bohemian...
Yeah, an officiant from the Bahamas.
Yes.
Yes.
But the thing is with... the cruise weddings, they're not actual legal ceremonies. So you go on and you can have your full wedding, the same on the ship, but none of it is actually legal. So you need to do the legal side of it elsewhere.
So technically you're either now not married or you had another wedding somewhere else.
We had another wedding. We
actually eloped in Epic Universe. So we got legally married in the Isle of Burke.
All right, behind Mickey Mouse's back.
Yeah.
All right, then. All right, I want to find out more about both of your weddings. But let's go back, because I know you're massive, obviously, to get married at Castaway Cay, must be fans of Disney Cruise, but you are Disney World fans as well, yeah?
Yes, yes. So, I mean, I think I was going to Disney back when I think I turned 10. And then it was pretty much every year until my parents kicked us out of the nest.
Yeah, start paying for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we used to go every year, sometimes twice a year, hit in those Halloween spots. And then self and Bob have been, 2-3 times since we've been together?
I went first when I was 9, I think, and then I didn't go back again till 2014. So whenever that was, age-wise, I can't remember. And then I went a few times. And then we had our first trip together in 2022.
Yeah.
After COVID.
And what I'm loving about this is you both went when you were really young. Were you kind of brought together by your love of Disney? Was that one of the things that was like part of your relationship?
Yeah. So we actually met during COVID, but we met via Instagram because we both had Disney accounts.
I love it. It was meant to be. It was meant to be. So yeah. How did that... I don't want to be too nosy, but I'm going to be too nosy. How did that strike up then? Did you kind of live in the same area, or how did it happen?
So I was Cambridge Way.
Yeah.
And then...
outside Oxford.
And basically, it was during COVID when everyone kind of had nothing to do. I was on a week-on, week-off basis at work, and I started putting up little videos of me dancing and miming along to Disney songs. And clearly, at some point during the Instagrams being on, we had followed each other, and he commented on one of the videos that was put up. And that was it.
We've spoken every day since.
Yeah. Oh, bless. It really is a happily ever after then.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people, we like to think of it as like modern day Disney fairy tale.
Yeah. Online Disney when we couldn't leave the house. But it happens. Yeah. Everything happens for a reason, doesn't it? What about the proposal? Who proposed to who and where did you do that?
Oh, there was a Disney Cruise Line thing as well. So
of course it was.
Proposed on the Dream.
Yeah.
We just got onto the ship embarkation day and I was trying my hardest to get Enya up to the funnel to propose with the ring in my pocket. And I'd keep pulling her away from people where she was talking about how she wanted to plan her wedding. She already had the Disney Cruise Line wedding in her mind. So she was telling me, as soon as I hurry up and propose, I can start booking this wedding. And I'm like, come on, let's go up to the deck and I can propose.
Was that a UK cruise, a Caribbean cruise? Where in the world were you?
That was to Castaway Key. So it was a back-to-back. So we did a double dip on Castaway Key.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
One of the Bahamian cruises.
Yeah.
And then from that moment, and you were you straight to like customer relations going, I've just got engaged. Can I start planning my wedding? Was it that quick?
So basically, I had the dress bought within 3 weeks of the proposal. And then we booked it because with Disney Cruise Line, you have to book the sailing first. And then when you're booking the sailing, you go, what availability do you have for the weddings? And then they see what they have. So I think it was maybe 2 or 3 months because we were waiting for the next lot of sailings to release.
Yeah. Okay.
In the airport, though, before the flight to get things.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did email Disney Fairytale Weddings in the airport.
Just to make sure.
Yeah, I was like, how do I get this thing rolling? I know exactly what I want, but when do I do it?
So then what was your plan for the day then, for the big day itself? In fact, the whole holiday around it?
It just kind of went from there. It was always a case of Bob knew he didn't want a traditional wedding.
Yeah.
And then after we'd started going on the cruises, it turned into this is kind of the thing for us. And then we went, right, we're turning this into not only a wedding for me, but a holiday for Bob.
Yeah, wedding, holiday, honeymoon, all in one.
That's it. Yeah, so
the whole thing.
We did our few days at Epic Universe to get the legal side of it done. And then we got onto the ship and we did a back to back on that. So we had the 4 days. We brought a photographer on with us. So it was basically just photos and wedding for 4 days straight.
We're sailing on the Wish. So there's a lot of nice places to take pictures.
And the 3 night after that where we just chilled.
I was going to say, it's good that you did the back to back because otherwise if you're just doing it one trip, it's going to the entire thing's just going to be wedding photographer and everything, isn't it? Having that and then kicking off your photographer and everybody else and then having an actual relaxing part as a second part, that was a good idea.
It is tiring, and it was just the two of us. So it was us and the photographer, so there's every time there's pictures it's completely just us as well.
Was that a Disney photographer, or did you have to bring your own photographer on and pay for a cabin and everything?
So we brought on someone with us. We paid for her cabin, and basically she was therefore with us for the 4 days. You can do it via Disney, but with that, they'll only do photos at the actual ceremony, And then they'll usually do kind of like an hour's worth of photos afterwards. But that's all that's included in it. And because it was just us going, the one thing I really wanted was good photos.
Yeah.
We just bit the bullet and we brought a photographer with us. But we have 4 days worth of photos from Castaway, Lookout, all of the ship, just anywhere we wanted, she did.
The night before pictures, then the morning of, during the wedding, then after the wedding. And then the next day we went to Lighthouse Point. So we got pictures on the beach there. And then the firework pictures in the evening at Pirate Night.
Yeah.
And then next day pictures as well. So there's a lot that we're waiting on coming through. We haven't received them all yet.
Oh, right. You're still waiting for that. I bet you were just in and out of your wedding outfits all day long, weren't you?
Pretty much.
Yes. Yeah. What time and whereabouts on the island was the actual wedding?
So the wedding was at 10:30.
Half past 10, yeah.
Yes, because there'd been a little bit of a kerfuffle with the salon in doing my hair that morning. But because we'd done a four-night, they don't tend to get many weddings on the Wish on a four-night cruise. And because we were the only ones getting married on that sailing, they were able to push things back.
Yeah, they were quite accommodating. I just asked them, there's been a little delay, can we move to, it was meant to be at 10. And I just asked them if we move back half an hour, and yeah, absolutely, that's no problem. We'll arrange that.
But we got married on the beach.
Yes.
So it was just, basically, it's the part of the beach that just overlooks the snorkeling area. Just as you're heading to Heads Up Bar, you just go off to the left, and there's this perfect little spot with all the palm trees, and we knew we wanted it to look like the beach.
Yeah.
So that went for there rather than Wedding Point, which is just by the Heads Up Bar. It's that little kind of like planked area,
decking area. Boardwalk.
Yes,
that's the word.
That's the word.
But it's nice. It overlooks the ships behind it, and the camera can be positioned in a way that you can't really see any other guests and things. So there's other people around, and there was other people watching.
Yeah,
but they don't. It doesn't feel like they're, you know, they're in as part of the wedding party.
You were looking
crowding.
You were looking the right way, because I was looking at you and I was looking towards them, and I could just see all these phones.
The audience. I suppose you've had a lot of people to send you pictures and videos straight after us, but if you wanted them, I guess.
We could have done.
And
what else did you do kind of on that part of the cruise? Where was your wedding breakfast? And did you go to like Paolo and places like that? Did you really zhuzh it up?
In the morning, it was more rush, get ready.
Yeah.
So I went up to Cabanas and I got some food and brought it down to the Tangled Salon.
Yeah,
where you were getting your hair done, so we could do that. So it was kind of a bit of a rushed breakfast. And then I met the wedding party, so the officiant and the wedding planner and the pianist in the Grand Hall. And then the sort of lead wedding planner went up to the cabin to meet Enya.
Yeah.
So I got taken down separately. And you get them a little golf buggy things, take you to the area.
Yeah.
Waiting. And then Enya came down in her own one. And they drive right up onto the beach as well, which I didn't think they would.
Yeah, they did.
And then you get off and do the walk down the aisle, etc. And then pictures on the beach. And then we went back to the Rose for our...
No.
Not the Rose?
We were at Nightingale's.
Nightingale, sorry.
For our reception, for our cake cutting. But it was really nice because it was just us. It was just us, the pianist, the Fairy Tale Weddings planners, and then our photographers. So we just ended up chatting to the wedding planners on the ship and just learning everything about them and how they did all their weddings.
Yeah.
And then more photos. Then we went back to the cabin, had a nice cheeky nap and some chicken tenders for your room service.
Oh, for the win.
Exactly. And then it was more photos, and then we went to Paolo for dinner that night.
Perfect. Did you also say that you had a pianist on the beach with you?
Yes.
Well,
so the massive grand piano. Did they wheel a grand piano onto the sand?
It was electric.
It was a little electric.
He played Rainbow Connections.
Yeah.
If
you do the reception area, if you do it in like the bayou, or if you do it in the main atrium of the ship and you have the pianist, he'll have the keyboard. But because we were so small and we could go into Nightingale's, he got the full grand piano to be able to play dance and stuff.
Yes, because it's like a piano bar. What was your first dance then?
It was to the song from Onward, You Carried Me With You, which they were like, we've never done this one before.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember that one.
Pretty.
I remember the film, but I can't remember the song.
It's over the end credits.
Yeah.
So it's right. Hot.
And if anybody's never been to Castaway Key or Lighthouse Point, or in fact, I've never been on a Disney cruise, or maybe they've only just done the UK Disney cruises, what is it about Disney cruises that you love?
It's just the service and the crew. The only way we could describe it, after we did our first one together, we just went, this is what Disney World was like back in like the mid-2000s, where everyone, like, you had so many magical moments and everyone was so smiley and everyone was so happy to see you, which we got when we were like in Disneyland. All the cast members there are the exact same, but the Disney Cruise Line just takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, it's the next evolution, I think, of the Disney parks, where you move up and it obviously you pay a little bit more for it, but the service is just incredible. And because you're in a contained area, you see the same cast members all the time, and you start to get to know them, and the effort, if you put more effort in, they'll put more effort in with you. Yeah. And it becomes like you've just gained a big group of friends by the end of the cruise.
Yeah, like, it's really funny because next one will be cruise number 12, but we've actually made friends with the entertainment hosts across cruises.
Yeah.
To the point of, there was two or three entertainment host members that were on the Wish cruise that were actually there when we got engaged on the Dream. So they all got to give us a big celebration hug that we got married, which was lovely. So it was just another kind of Disney family that you gain through it.
Yeah.
Have you got a particular favourite Disney ship? We will talk about Disney World soon, by the way, but in terms of let's go.
I like the Dream class ships, the Dream and the Fantasy. I think they've got the best layout and the best adult area, the best in terms of a bar and pool area. And I think they're just the best sort of layout of ship. But I do think they have the worst restaurants. So it's kind of...
I don't know. Worlds of Marvel is not one of my particular favourites.
No.
It's a bit of a squish on.
Yeah, no, we agree with that. I would have to say the Fantasy... but the treasure was just so immersive, has so many things on, and it was just fantastic. We really, really loved the treasure. The Dream will always have a special place in my heart because it's where I proposed. Yeah. So,
which was your first one?
The Fantasy.
Same for me. Yeah, I did the Fantasy as well. Was that part of a Disney World trip?
It was.
Yes, it was.
We did a week on the Fantasy and then 2 weeks in Disney World.
Yeah.
Had you been on a cruise before, or was it
no?
I'm following. This is my story. I was like, I would never go on a cruise. Why would I want to go on a cruise? The only way I could go on a cruise was be a Disney cruise, and then you do it, and then you get it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, it was a case of, we booked it because I had been really upset that we couldn't do the Magic at Sea cruise sailings that they did during COVID. And I was gutted that we couldn't do that. And we managed to finagle it at work that we could get the 3 weeks leave. So it, right, let's do the cruise. And then if it's not for us, at least we have the 2 week holiday at Walt Disney World. No, we'll have an amazing time.
Yeah.
And then we were stepping off the ship and the pair of us were so sad.
Oh, God, isn't it? Well, they do the last thing they do at night, the See You Real Soon, where they play the sad music and they show you clips. They film you throughout the week and they show clips on the big screen.
Yeah. It's
heartbreaking. So how often now do you go back to Disney World? Do you try and combine, if you're sailing for Port Canaveral, it's easy to combine at Disney World and a Disney cruise trip. Do you do that, or do you venture around the world now on your cruises?
We've kind of done like a couple of days here or there, and then with the cruises, but the cruises have kind of been
taken over a bit
for us. So we are kind of more dotting around with the cruises than we are at Disney World, but we've managed to kind of do one or two days at the parks, just kind of ahead of things. Mm-hmm. But the last time that we were there for a big spell was in 2023. We did like 5 days at the parks and then did a trip on the Wish. And then since then, it's been like one or two days and then onto a cruise.
We've had a couple of sailings out of Fort Lauderdale as well.
Yeah.
What's that one called?
Port Everglades.
Yeah, I just did the Destiny recently from there. So
yeah,
the Destiny looks amazing.
Yeah. Oh, have you not done that one yet?
No.
We were booked for February.
Yeah, the Destiny, I've done them all now, apart from the one from Singapore. I love the Treasure, like you say, the Atrium on there. And the adult entertainment on there, like you say, the Sage and Coriander, who are a kind of like an improv couple, aren't they? That go around the ship doing different shows. That's the best way to describe them. They've got something similar on the Destiny, but I think they've learned from the Treasure, and they are brilliant. They do like a spoof Marvel show, and they do like a couple of story time shows in the Atrium that are supposed to be for kids, but they've really nailed how to entertain Disney adults, not just adults, but Disney adults. So I think you will love the Destiny.
We're excited.
We're on the 7-night sailings, so there was two available and we picked one of those. So
yeah, we excited. As soon as we saw it, it was one of the few times that we didn't have a placeholder booked.
I know.
And we just went, no, it's a week-long one. When's this going to dance again? We're just doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And what about sailing over to Singapore to do the adventure?
I mean, we've talked about it and it's so far away that if we were going to do it, it would have to be when the new Oriental Land Company ship comes out and they do it out of Tokyo and then try and do everything together, if that's in any way possible.
Left about 2 months off work. Yeah. And we'll do Hong Kong and China and Japan. We'll do the parks. We'll do the cruises. And
I
love it. Why not? Should we talk about Disney World?
Yes.
Okay, then. Bob and Enya are with us on the podcast. More from our newlyweds in just a moment. Should we talk about Christmas? Should we go from weddings to Christmas? Last week, all the Christmas stuff was announced halfway to Christmas. It's mostly much of the same. So basically, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party on Jollywood Nights and the Candlelight Processional at Epcot. Basically, it's all coming back. I can give you the dates. Do you want me to give you the dates? Okay. The dates for the Christmas party, the first date for the Christmas party starts in November on the 8th. This is over at Magic Kingdom. It runs right through till the 22nd of December. Remember, a lot of things they do at the Christmas party, which are like the fireworks and the castle show and the parade. Yes, you only get them at the Christmas party on those select nights, but after the 22nd, which is the last Christmas party, from then until New Year's Eve, it's just part of your normal day over at Magic Kingdom, if you don't mind the chaos. Meanwhile, Hollywood Studios Jollywood Nights, which has been going on for quite a few years now, the first Jollywood Nights will be the 7th of November. That runs through November, December, and into January. There is two dates for Jollywood Nights in January. January the 3rd and January the 5th. They've got the ice skating. They've got the show with the Muppets. They've got the cocktail dancing outside the Tower of Terror. Meanwhile, over at Disney Springs, you've got the Christmas trees back. You haven't got, and this has been controversial, you haven't got the gingerbread house over at the Grand Floridian. Didn't have it last year. People thought, oh, because it was building work, they were building that new birdcage bar. It's not happening this year, and it's not coming back. There will be gingerbread things at the resorts for, and it quotes, hotel guests, which is a bit strange, but it's sad that the gingerbread house at the Grand Floridian won't be coming back. Really sad. A little bit of baby news for you. Yes, we've got some new babies over at Animal Kingdom. The Kilimanjaro Safaris have got a brand new resident. I don't know why I'm whispering. He is called Cinnamon, and he's a new Ankole calf who's been born at Animal Kingdom. So next time you're on the Kilimanjaro Safaris, look out for Cinnamon. And also when you're at Animal Kingdom, look out for some of our Antipodean friends. Yes, some of the Australian marsupials have arrived over at the Bluey. Well, it's not Bluey meet and greet, is it? It's the Bluey bit of when you get the train. Anyway, there's wallabies over there now. They have arrived. Any news between now and the next podcast, follow us on the socials at PodMagical. So we've been talking a lot about Disney weddings and Disney cruises. So Bob and Enya, who are with us, let's talk about Disney World. Now, you were both like 9 or 10 for the first time you went separately, obviously. What do you remember about your first visits?
I don't have a lot of memories from my first visit, really. I remember being too scared to go on Dinosaur. And, what else do I... there's not a lot. I do remember having McDonald's, which is weird.
Could do that anywhere.
Yeah, back when they used to have McDonald's in the parks, yeah. I don't have a lot of memories. My first trip was good, but it wasn't a
too young.
Now I want to be going to Disney World all the time. It's only when I went back as an adult that I then became, properly fell in love with it.
Yeah. And what about you, Enya? Can you remember your first visit?
the things I can remember at my first visit is I remember when I went, it was back when you still had a lot of the morning characters at the front of Main Street. So I remember going there, and I remember we went with my cousins, and Dopey was out, and my Dopey was obsessed with my cousin and his hat. I remember meeting all of the characters there, and then the first time that we saw the fireworks, which was Wishes at the time, and things had happened, and my family was kind of here, there, and everywhere, trying to find each other. But I remember standing on Main Street, and I just bawled because I grew up as a major Disney kid, and seeing all of the ads for Walt Disney World on the VHSs, and being young and being out and going, like, wishing on stars that I would get there someday. Yeah. For being there and watching Wishes and just bawling my eyes out while my parents were trying to find my cousins, who was trying to find his Woody doll.
Like I say, back in those days when it was the VHS, this was before the days of YouTube, where, like, you can just switch on the TV and be at Disney World at any time. But back then, there was still a bit of a mystery around it. You've heard about it and you've seen it on the videos, but really you didn't know what to expect. So it was even more overwhelming, I guess, the first time.
Oh, yeah, it was a complete no idea what we were getting into. And it was, yeah, it was back in the days of, like, being at Animal Kingdom and having Mickey and Minnie's Jungle Jam and Parade and things like that. So it's looking back on how it was then and how it was now, it's just a bit crazy. And the fact that nowadays it's just like you go onto your phone and you can find out absolutely everything that's happening there right now.
Yeah, whereas, look at the wait times and yeah, things like that.
Whereas I remember we got, like, one of the, like, Disney, it was like Walt Disney World encyclopedia books. That they used to sell, and it had everything about all the shows and the parades and all the pictures in it, and it was the only way you could kind of show it to someone of, this is everything you can do there.
Yeah. Go through my book.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a particular favourite memory out of all the times that you've been?
I mean, for me, memory before going with Bob was, I don't know if you remember the old Mickey Vinylmations that you could buy. And they were like little kind of weird Mickey statues. But we used to get them, and myself and my sister would paint them based off of, like, a Disney film. So I painted all mine, and I did it for Beauty and the Beast. And I had painted Gaston onto the back. And I had been going back and forth for like 3 days to try and see him in the Magic Kingdom to sign it, and he was never there. And the day that I finally met him, I got up to him and he took it and he paraded up and down the queue of people and went, this is what she made. What have you done today? It was just so hilarious. And being a teen, it was just like, this is amazing, yet also I'm so embarrassed and bright red.
yeah. But you can be. I think when you're a teenager at Disney World, I think it's fine.
And then, I mean, when we went together, it was first time that we saw Happily Ever After, and just, again, bawling eyes out and just feeling, it's like, yep, I've managed to get that now. So
Yeah. Is that your same favorite memory, Bob?
I think from our first trip, we had the, you know, we did a lot in the first trip we went together, but meeting characters was not something I ever did before I met Enya. And then my first character meet was in Disneyland Paris when Enya said, let's go and meet Mickey. And that was a very magical moment. But then we moved on to Disney World, and then we met every character there was.
Yeah.
So there was probably two moments. One for Mickey's Not So Scary, when Enya dressed as Merida and I dressed as one of the clansmen. I just wore a kilt because I'm Scottish, having a kilt. And we went and met Merida, and that was a very good meet. And the other one was meeting Mickey and Minnie in their 50th get-up, their outfits, which was just, it was just very magical meeting the two of them together. And then me and Mickey watching Enya and Minnie doing their twirls and things like that.
Yeah.
Now become quite a normal thing.
Yeah, just a lot of twirls.
But the first time it happened, it was very magical for me.
Yeah, because it wasn't very often you could actually meet them together. I think there was... Did they always do the meet and greet at Animal Kingdom? But I don't remember at Magic Kingdom them actually meeting together until that 50th.
Yeah, there was... It was just before the 50th. It was when it was their 90th birthday.
Yeah.
Because I met them in their 90th outfits, but this was before I was with you. that was like 2019, I think. Yeah, but I think that was the first time that they were together.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of your favourite things then. Let's start on with restaurants. Any particular favourite places to eat around Walt Disney World?
Homecoming is definitely a big one.
Yeah. Chicken and donuts.
Chicken and donuts.
Oh, yes.
Thigh high biscuits.
Yeah, they're the ones.
Oh.
Anything chicken and fried things is just good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Both the same for you. Both Homecoming fans.
Yeah, I think so.
And what about favourite attractions? Do you share the same favourite attraction?
Oh, I'm a diehard Splash Mountain fan. So, missed that.
Even though you're not even if what about the new Tiana's? How does it compare for you?
I've only ridden it once, so there's still probably a lot of things to see, but it doesn't fill my heart with the same way that Splash Mountain used to.
Okay.
But not but if we can't see Splash Mountain because it's no longer there, then I'm going with Carousel of Progress.
What do you think about the new announcements for Carousel of Progress recently?
It's been coming for a while, I think. So, and it's probably necessary because the futuristic is meant to be futuristic, isn't it? It's not past. So, and as Walt said, it's going to keep evolving, keep changing. So we should try to accept that a little bit, I think, and be excited for what's coming in the future.
What about outside Disney, obviously, cruises? Do you still go to Universal quite a lot? Because we need to find out about you getting married there, actually. Do you always combine Universal with your trips?
No.
No.
Did we do it the first time?
No,
we didn't. So we'd never been together. I'd been previously, you'd been previously.
Yep.
So our first time together was actually for Epic Universe, for our wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, it was usually a case of with my family because it was cheaper for them to get the annual passes at the time. It was always do you want it to be that you can end the trip at Disney World or do you want to do Universal? And we picked every time we went, no, we want to end at Disney World.
Gosh, it's got to be.
It was a very clear cut, no, we don't need to go to Universal. And yeah, so it was never really a priority for us. I did go in 2019 just to be like, okay, I'm going to go because there's a chance to do it. And I did enjoy it. And I always loved Spider-Man. Spider-Man was always my favorite ride at Islands. But otherwise, there was no massive draw to go back because we're not huge like Harry Potter people. That's taken over a lot of it now. But when we saw Epic, it was actually that I saw a TikTok video of someone eloping at Epic. And I just went, well, this looks really cool and looks way more fun than going into the registry office at 10:30 morning. And then it just kind of went from there. And we're like, well, everyone says it's fantastic. Let's just go.
Yeah.
And we just fell in love with Epic Universe.
Epic Universe was fantastic.
And how did you arrange going about your big day there, your other big day?
So we went through a company that are meant to be elopements. So it's a photographer and officiant duo. And basically we got in contact with them and we sorted out a package that we wanted. And then in terms of getting the marriage license sorted, we went through a mailing company that is based over in Florida, and they just send everything out to you. You fill it all in, send it back to them, and then they send on the marriage license to the officiant. She signed off on it, sent it back, and then we got our marriage license from them, I want to say about 2 weeks after it was done.
Yeah, just came in the post.
So it was good. It was super easy.
Yeah, he's box ticking. There we go. Yeah. Done. Easy. Easy as that.
Yeah. So we were trying to figure out how do we manage to do, because the Disney Cruise Line wedding isn't a legal ceremony, we're trying to figure out how we do that. And it's like looking around, can we go into the office and just get it signed and things like that? But it worked out to be a lot cheaper just to do it in Epic Universe. So we did that.
Yeah. And a lot more exciting, Bob.
Yeah, we were three hours in the park going up and getting photos and doing everything.
Yeah, we met them at the portal entrance to the Isle of Berk. We went in, found a little
spot. Sort
of nice spot, went to the shuffle to the side, did our ceremony, and we kept our rings and things for the actual wedding. So we did a hand tying.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did that. There was a crowd appearing around us and filming as per our previous. And then they all cheered, and then we had 3 hours of photography around the park.
Yeah, and then that was it. We just had all of, like, I still call them cast members. I know it's not the right thing for Universal, but I can't help it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they call them at Universal.
I know, I'm just...
Staff?
I'm indoctrinated into the Disney way of...
Yeah, yeah, let's just call them cast members.
Yeah, but that was it. We just walked by, and they're just like, did you just get married? And we're like, yes. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my God, you just got married here. Do you want... come and meet Toothless.
Yep.
And they moved us in front of everyone who was in an 80-minute long queue to meet Toothless to go straight up to the front so we could meet him. Then it was the same for the Bride and Frankenstein. Then it was, do you want to come to this cool area that people don't get to go into and get
yes, please.
There? Yeah. We're like, yes, please.
Dark Universe is fantastic for photos.
Yeah, and then we had one, we didn't know what his position was, but he was clearly very high up in terms of the food and beverages team. And we were in Mead Hall and getting photos there. And he asked, can I take a photo of you to share, like, with my team members? And we were like, yeah, of course, no problem. So he took a photo of us. And then we found out later on that night, we went to Blue Dragon for dinner.
The food there is very good.
It's so good. And the manager came out and he went, hi, we just know that you've gotten married here because your photo was put up on our team WhatsApp. We're so happy and so thrilled that you chose here to get married. We'd love to buy your first round of drinks.
Yes, please.
and it was, but that was it for the whole few days that we were there. It was just constant. What more can we do for you?
Yeah, people recognizing us from day to day. It's similar to how it is on Disney Cruise Line. It seems, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, how can we make your experience better?
Yeah, and it was just that everyone was so... All of the workers that are there, they're all so proud to be a part of such a big thing. Like, they're all like, this is the first big new park that's opened up since Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, we're a part of this. We want it to be great. We want to give everything that we can so everyone can see how great it was. And you could just feel it throughout the whole park. And that's just what made it so magical then for us and what made us fall in love with it.
Sounds perfect. We're just going to quickly nip back over to Walt Disney World, though, before we lose you, Bob and Enya. I'm going to give you your ideal Walt Disney World day. So, not your only day, but if you're just going to go, today, we're just going to do our favourite things, and you can stay where you want, eat what you want, eat where you want, do what you want. What would you do? How would you spend it?
Well, we had a pretty good day one time that we were there, which the only thing I would add to it would be that we would have stayed at Animal Kingdom, but... We got up, went to Animal Kingdom. We would have stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge. But we got up, went to Animal Kingdom, Flight of Passage to start, one of the Pongo Lumpias for breakfast, and maybe a sneaky night blossom alongside of it, Kilimanjaro Safaris. And then we spent 3 hours in Nomad Lounge during all of the rain, and it was spectacular. And then we finished off with another safari tour because all of the animals out and it was perfect. And then we headed over to Magic Kingdom and we got to watch Happily Ever After. And then we did all of the small little Fantasyland rides and finished up the night with a trip on the carousel. And it was just so chilled and perfect and magical. And it was just a fantastic day.
And completely unplanned, because you didn't plan for that 3-hour storm in the afternoon, did you?
No.
Did you?
No.
I do love Nomad Lounge. I also love a good thunderstorm in Florida, because you're never quite sure how long it's going to last. I'm assuming you weren't expecting to be in there for 3 hours.
No.
No, we weren't expecting to be there that long, or for the bill to be as big as it was.
I was going
to
say, how much did you spend in there?
Oh, it must have been at least $500.
So any more trips planned? Any more cruises? Disney World trips?
Big one.
Yeah. September.
So we have a Alaska cruise on the Wonder, which we've not seen there. So we're doing a week there. And then from Alaska, fly to California. And we've got 4 days in Disneyland. And then we're flying to Hawaii, where we're staying Waikiki Beach for 2 nights. And then in Alani for 4 nights.
Oh, is this classed as another honeymoon or just a treat?
The first one was just the wedding.
Yeah, of course. That wasn't a honeymoon. That was the wedding. Well, this is the perfect honeymoon then. A cruise, Disneyland and Alani in Hawaii. Yeah. Just perfect. Lovely to chat to you. Can't wait to see your pictures. We'll share them on socials as well. Where can we find you on socials if you want to have a look at your pictures?
So I'm flying through Fantasyland on Instagram.
Yeah, and mine is The Green Life.
And then we have our YouTube channel, which is very unoriginal title because we couldn't think of anything, which is just The Family Bob and Enya.
There you go. What more do you need? That's who you are. That's where you are. Lovely chatting to you. Have a magical day.
You too.
We will. Thank you.
Don't forget, if you want to join me on the podcast, you like going to Disney World, you like talking about Disney World, you like listening to people talking about Disney World, we can't shoot you up talking about Disney World. Yeah, you need to be on the podcast. A lot of people saying, are you looking for guests? We are always looking for guests. If you want to come on, don't say you're looking for guests, say, I want to come on. Drop me a message at Pod Magical, drop me a direct message. It might be that we'll record over the next few weeks and it won't go out for a few months, but please, don't be shy. Come on, let's chat about Disney World together. So this weekend is the 4th of July weekend. It's the 250th anniversary of American Independence Day. So it's all going off over at both the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. So I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to combine a top tip in this as well, because I will actually be, by the time this goes out, at Walt Disney World. I've been saying for ages, I've been looking for cheap flights or reward flights to go out there, and I've got DVC and I was looking for room availability. So yes, I did this last year and it was an absolute killer, but I'm doing it again. I'm going to Walt Disney World for 3 nights, flying out just for Independence Day weekend. It will be celebrated 3rd, 4th and 5th. So 4th obviously is Independence Day, but 3rd, 4th and 5th, you will get the fireworks at Magic Kingdom at 9 p.m. and then 3rd, 4th and 5th at Epcot. And they don't usually do this. They'll be doing their Independence Day fireworks over the 3 nights as well. So if you're going to be there for the 3 nights, if you just happen to be there this weekend, you can catch one of the fireworks twice and another one on another night. So you'll be able to see both of them over the Friday tonight, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So move around. It is 9 o'clock, both Magic Kingdom and Epcot, which means times of parades are moving around. It's going to be absolutely chaotic. It's going to be incredibly busy over at Walt Disney World this weekend if you're going. And obviously the weather is incredibly hot as well. There's been a heat advisory actually over the last few days. You think it was hot over here? I mean, there were some times in the UK, like last week, it was really hot and I looked that it was a little bit cooler to be in Florida. But this week in Florida, they've had heat advisories because it has been so hot. In fact, the next few days, looking temperature wise, you're still talking about the mid 30s. Even overnight, the lowest it's going to get is 24 degrees with those afternoon thunderstorms as well. So yeah, it's peak summer now, it's peak heat wave, and then you're into summer holidays. So 4th of July right through till kind of like early August, school holidays in America. So very, very busy. If you go in, enjoy. Happy Independence Day. If you are one of our American listeners, I might see you, might bump into you, tell you all about it on the next podcast in 2 weeks' time. Until then, please stand clear of the doors.